الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله، إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، so to conclude our jalasat sittings related to the explanation of Surah Al-Fatiha from this illustrious Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we'll conclude these benefits that we're taking from his books. Well, yesterday, we concentrated on the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. What does إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ mean in English? To you alone we worship with no partners. And إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, to you alone we seek aid and assistance. Why does the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, define the meaning of La ilaha illallah? Why does it have the meaning? Why is it the meaning of La ilaha illallah? The statement, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, we said something linguistic indicates this. Sheikh, excellent. That they both La ilaha illallah and Iyyaka na'bud means that Allah alone we worship with no partners. Okay? But linguistically, what does Iyyaka na'bud? Because the object is first. Iyyaka. The object is first. Naam. Naam. So the object is first and the verb comes afterwards. Okay, the object is first and the verb comes afterwards. And in the Arabic language, if that occurs, it means al-hasr. It means what? Al-hasr, which means specification, limitation, restriction. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we worship, no one else. So by mentioning the one that's worshipped first and then mentioning the verb after, this emphasizes this. And that's why this is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. We also mentioned that إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said is based upon two foundations. That ibadah is based upon two foundations, aslain. What? Give me one of them, please. Extreme love. Well, let me translate that by immense love. Immense love. Okay? غَايَةُ الْحُبْ. غَايَةُ الْحُبْ. Immense love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second foundation? Immense والخضوع, humility and servitude and submission. Okay, intense or immense humility and submission. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said these are the two foundations of ibadah. What are the two foundations of isti'ana? From Iyyaka Nasta'in, what are the two foundations of isti'ana? Naam. Complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the first foundation, and the second, and rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he then mentioned afterwards, to move on, he mentioned that the people with regards to trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ibadah are of how many categories? Three or four? Four. What are these four categories of individuals and people as it relates to combining ibadah and trusting in Allah, relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Naam, Sheikh. First, the first category are those who worship Allah and they ask aid and seek aid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are, Ibn Qayyim mentions, are Ahl Iyaka Na'bud. These are the people of Ahl Iyaka Na'bud. These are the people of Iyaka Na'bud. Ajalluha wa afdaluha. These are the best of people. These are the best of people. Another category, the opposite of that. They have no ibadah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they don't trust and rely in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third category? Say that again, sorry? That's something else now. Okay, we're talking about people as it relates to trusting in Allah and ibadah. We'll get to that in a minute, inshallah. Okay? The third category? Who worship Allah relatively, yani. No, in ma. Okay? They worship Allah relatively, but they don't seek, they don't seek aid in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth category. They seek aid, but they don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They seek aid for their desires, because they know that there's no way that they can achieve anything except through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they refuse to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect us from all these negative aqsam and make us be from and die upon the qism al-awwal, the first qism, the first category. Okay, now Ibn Qayyim then mentioned that the reactualization of ibadah, iyyaka na'bud, is what? Based on two things. The reactualization and to conform and to establish the Iyyaka Na'bud is based upon two things: ikhlas, sincerity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and secondly, mutaba'a, and following the sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then Ibn Qayyim mentioned that people, as it relates to sincere worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and mutaba and following the sunnah, are again of how many categories? Four. The first category, Sheikh. Those who do not have sincerity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they do not follow the sunnah. And what did Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala say about these people? Those, they don't have the sunnah, they don't have ikhlas, and they don't have mutaba'ah. They don't have sincerity, and they don't follow the sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does he say about these people? Shams, yalla, go. Yafrahuna bima lam? Naam. These are the individuals who beautify their actions. They beautify their actions in order for people to see it as from what? The sunnah. They're not being sincere because they're not being honest, and then they're doing their actions for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're not following the sunnah because that action that they're doing is from the actions of bid'ah or shirk. And then Ibn Qayyim said this is the state of the people of innovation. And this is the state of the people of innovation. They beautify their actions so people can say this person is from the sunnah and they follow the sunnah, but in reality it's innovation. And we mentioned a statement of Awza'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, regarding this. What did Awza'i say from the Tabi'in? What did he say? Alayka bi'ish bi'athari salaf wa in rafadaka an-nas. Upon you is a narration. Yani stick to the narrations of the salaf. Don't leave it. Stick to the narrations of the salaf, even if the people turn away from you. Wa iyyaka wa ara ar-rijal wa in zakhrafa bil-qawl. And be aware of the opinions of man, even if he beautifies it. And we mentioned an example of Uthman ibn Affan. Do you remember that? Radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What did we say about Uthman? Some people say what? There are some people deviantly say, after advice has been given to them, after the clarification has come to them, they say that Uthman ibn Affan, the companions of the Prophet, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he fell into bid'ah. And does this go in accordance to the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, la tasubba ashabi? Does it go in accordance or does it contradict it? It contradicts it. But they say, nah, this is not from the sunnah, so this is bid'ah, we're sticking to the sunnah, and we're kullu bid'atin dalala, like one individual said. So he's mentioned kullu bid'atin dalala, but in reality, he's beautifying his deviant position with the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that we all will agree. And that is kullu bid'atin dalala. All of innovation is astray. But do not attribute bid'ah to Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, فَإِذَا ذُكِرَ أَصْحَابِي فَأَمْسِكُوا. When my companions are mentioned, then stop, keep quiet. But yet you speak with negativity. Speak good of the companions or be quiet. مَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَيَوْمُ الْآخِرِ فَيَلْكُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. Whoever believes in Allah, and the hereafter, then let him speak good or be quiet. Attributing bid'ah to Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu is not khair. It's not good, so be quiet. So be quiet. Now, we mentioned that Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, we have some more categories for that four, sah? What are the other ones? Before we continue. So we have the first one, those who have no ikhlas and have no mutaba'ah. The second, the people who have ikhlas and the people who have mutaba, those people who are sincere, and those people who follow the sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And after that, the third category, those who have ikhlas, sincerity, but they don't have mutaba, they don't follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam because of ignorance. The action is rejected. The action is what? Rejected. مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمِلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدْ. Whoever does an action that is not from our affair, it is rejected. From the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sahih Muslim. Name is rejected because it's not according to the sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they're ignorant, so they have that section of ikhlas, but they don't have mutaba'ah. Fourth and final category. Is it fourth? Naam. The fourth and final category. Naam, akhi. Naam, the one whose actions are upon the sunnah, but it's not, he's not mukhlis. He's not sincere in that action. Okay? وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهِ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. They've not been ordered except to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely for his religion. Worship Allah upon the mutaba'ah and sincere for his religion. Naam. And then we mentioned that Ibn Qayyim mentioned that the ibad, the worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should endeavor in trying to do the best ibadah for every time. The best ibadah for every time. And we mentioned some examples of this, like in the time of the Adhan. Okay, in a time when your brother is sick, the best type of worship is to visit him. And when the Adhan is called, to make dua. And in the last 10 days of Ramadan, itikaf, dhikr, qira'atul Quran, and so forth. In the middle of the night, what is the most virtuous ibadah? Walking street? No. Salah. Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing dhikr, and seeking ilm. And seeking ilm, because that is part of dhikr. And when you have a guest, the best type of worship at that time is to what? Ikram. To feed your guest, and take care of your guest, and give total attention to your guest. So Ibn Qayyim saying that, again, from some of the statements of the ulama, that the best type of worship is that worship which is pleasing to Allah at every single time. That worship that is pleasing to Allah at every single time. And then he mentions that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala up until our death. From the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Ibudu Rabbaka hatta yatiyaka al-yaqeen." Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Yasin, worship your Lord until yaqeen. Is it Hijr or Yasin? Hijr, sorry. Naam. Until you reach yaqeen. Until you reach what? Yaqeen. A.E. what? Death. From the hadith of who? Uthman ibn Mad'un. Where the Prophet ﷺ said, "Verily, as for Uthman, the Qadish, Ja'a Rabbahu bil Yaqeen." His Lord has come with what? Yaqeen, a.e. death. And that's when he died. So here the explanation of Yaqeen is death. I asked the brothers to mention if there's ibadah. I'm going to just tell you, inshallah, don't worry. And if you go, alhamdulillah. Okay? Is there ibadah after death? Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions that there is ibadah after death. There's ibadah after death. Man Rabbuk. In the qabr, you ask Man Rabbuk, and the answer is what? Allah. This is ibadah. This is ibadah. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ وَيُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيُونَ خَاشِئَةً أَبْصَارُهُمْ تَرْهَقُهُمْ ذِلَّةٌ وَقَدْ كَانُوا يُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ وَهُمْ سَالِمُونَ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Qalam, verse number 42 and 43, he said, when the shin is exposed, the day of judgment, and they will be called to make sujood. They'll be called to make sujood, but they can't. But they can't make sujood that day. And humiliation, their eyes will be cast down, and they'll have humiliation and ignominy, because they were asked to make sujood when they were okay, i.e. in this dunya. They were asked to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they didn't pray. So because they didn't pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they didn't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on that day they would not be able to make sujood. So Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, even after death, that there is sujood, there is ibadah. There is what? Ibadah. In summary of what we've done, we need to also take benefit from the kalam of Ibn Qayyim, where he mentions the method of istidlal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatiha of the Tawheed Al-Uluhiyya. How Allah proves and establishes Tawheed Al-Uluhiyya, the Tawheed of servitude, the Tawheed of worship, the reason that the Anbiya were sent and the messengers were sent, and the reason why the books were revealed. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatiha prove this? The first way is by mentioning his rububiyyah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a few couple of verses after that, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. The reason why all types of worship should be directed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is because He is the Lord. He is the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's like the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha an-nas i'budu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O mankind, worship your Lord, the one that created you, rububiyyah. Worship your Lord, uluhiyyah, the one that created you, rububiyyah, and created those before you in order for you to attain taqwa, in order for you to attain piety. And this is in Surah Al-Baqarah, and this is the first command in the Quran. That's another benefit. The first command in the Quran is for Tawheed al-Ibadah, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. The first command, first Amr, Fil Amr in the Quran is this verse here. And also we find another method that Ibn Qayyim shows, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proves that He alone should be worshipped, subhana, is by mentioning the affair of Yawm al-Qiyamah, or of the hereafter, and then establishing that because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being Maliki Yawm al-Din, being the king, the owner, the lord, the one who is in charge of in that day, that he deserves to be worshipped. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions after that, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. So mentioning an affair, or the affair of the hereafter, and then mentioning that because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves to be worshipped alone. Again, this is in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Azifatul Azifa, Laysa laha min dunillahi kashifa, Afa min hadhal hadithi ta'jabun, Wa tadhakun wa la tabakun, Wa antum samidun, Fasjudu lillahi wa'budu. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in Surah Al-Najm, He said, Azifatul Azifa, the day of resurrection is near, Laysa laha min dunillahi kashifa, there is none that can avail this day. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so after it, what's the verse after it? It's gone. Afa min hadhal hadithi ta'jabun. Do you wonder and ponder over these verses? Wa tadhakun wa la tabakun. And you laugh and you don't cry. You laugh and you don't cry. Huh? Wa antum salim. No. Samidun, while you're amusing, dealing, playing, wasting time, while you're playing and wasting time, worship your, make sujood for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Him. Make sujood for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Him. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the affairs of the hereafter, the resurrection. And then at the end Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? Make sujood for Allah and worship Him. So this is the method of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proving that He subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves to be worshipped alone by mentioning the affairs of the hereafter, like He mentioned subhana in Surah Al-Fatiha, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Maliki yawmiddin, and then, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. The next thing we're going to deal with now is the kalam from Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala. We're going to go into the kalam of Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, Al-Alama, rahimahullah ta'ala, in Ahkam al-Quran, in his tafsir of the Quran, where he brings the rulings regarding verses in the Quran. He mentions a few benefits of the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. The first benefit the Shaykh mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that in this verse is proof, and he benefits, is proof that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be sought aid from. Ala mutlaqa. Indefinite aid should be sought from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You seek aid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indefinitely. But it's permissible to seek aid from the creation for that which that they are able to do. But as for indefinite aid, isti'ana mutlaqa, this is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is from the, again, what we mentioned about Iyaka na'bud, same as Iyaka nasta'in, where the object is mentioned first, Iyaka, and then nasta'in is mentioned afterwards, which means only you we seek indefinite aid. The second benefit that he mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala, is that he said that in this verse we say, Iyaka na'bud. Iyaka na'bud wa Iyaka nasta'in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this verse the plural sense, where Allah says, Iyaka na'bud. Allah didn't mention Iyaka a'bud. He said, Iyaka na'bud, to you we all worship. And Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, worship alone. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, this is the proof that we all should come together, ijtima' ala ibadatillahi wahda. And that's what keeps us together. That the ijtima, that the coming together is upon the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Because Allah didn't mention it in infirad. Allah did not mention it in a singular form. Allah mentioned it in a plural form. Meaning that we worship, we all come together. Do not divide and come together in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So the ones that do not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with ikhlas, with mutaba'ah, like we mentioned before, with sincerity and following the sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's gone away from this group. He's gone away from this group. Like the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Wa'tasimu bihablillahi jami'an wa la tafarraqu." Hold firm to the rope of Allah, all of you, and do not divide. So likewise here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. A, we all come together upon the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And then, Shaykh Muthaymeen mentions a third benefit, and I'll leave it at that, where he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this verse, mentions, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And here it proves that we should seek aid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anything. Whether it is a serious matter, or whether it is we think is a frivolous matter, or whether we think it's a small matter, every sagheer or every kabir, that we should seek aid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is again because of the hasr. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. To you we seek, we worship, and to you we seek aid. Aid for everything. Aid for everything. So this is all comes under the hasr, the restriction, limitation, saying that we seek for everything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After that, we go on to Ibn Qayyim's statement, rahimahullah ta'ala, where he says that Surah Al-Fatiha has the most loftiest of objectives. Surah Al-Fatiha has the most loftiest of objectives. Do we understand what we mean by objectives? Aim. Mutalib al-Aliya fi Surah al-Fatiha. The lofty aims in Surah al-Fatiha. The lofty aims in Surah al-Fatiha. Ibn Qayyim then mentions these aims. The first one he mentions, he says, فَاشْتَمَلَتْ عَلَى التَّعْرِيفِ بِالْمَعْبُودِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى بِثَلَاثَةِ أَسْمَاءَ مَرْجِعَ الْأَسْمَاءَ الْحُسْنَى. I'm going to ask you a question now. Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that this surah, Surah Al-Fatiha, it comprises of knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowledge of the one who deserves to be worshipped, knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who deserves to be worshipped alone. And he mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this aim by using three names, which all of the names and attributes go back to. What are these three names? Rabb, Allah, and Ar-Rahman. The name of Allah, and then the name Ar-Rabb, and the name Ar-Rahman. All of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes back to these names. Goes back to what? These names. So here in Surah Al-Fatiha, the objective here in Surah Al-Fatiha is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with his perfect names and attributes, and specifically the three names, Allah, wa Rabb, wa Rahman, which all of the names go back to, and Allah indicating uluhiyya, the servitude, and Rabb indicating arububiyya, lordship, and Ar-Rahman indicating mercy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of the names, Asma al-Husna, all of the names go back to these three names. The second thing he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, is an objective here in Surah Al-Fatiha, is it, that it comprises to dhammanat ithbat al-ma'ad. It comprises of the affirmation and confirmation of resurrection and hereafter. And he says, فَهُوَ الْمَحْمُودُ. Nah, I'm sorry. وَجَزَاءَ الْعِبَادِ بِعَمَالِهِمْ حَسَنَهَا وَسَيِّئَهَا. He said that the slave will be taken to account and rewarded according to his good deeds and his bad deeds or evil deeds. And in Surah Al-Fatiha, this objective is explained, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He indicates and shows that He alone is the judge in that day. He alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the judge in that day. He alone will give reward. He alone will punish. So therefore, He alone deserves to be worshipped. Alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He alone deserves to be worshipped. And then Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions a very, very important benefit from the objectives of this Quran, or of this Surah Al-Fatiha, and that is in affirming the prophethood, and affirming Risala, messengership. In Surah Al-Fatiha, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala says that in this Surah, there's confirmation and proofs establishing the Risala. Now, he mentions this, rahimahullah ta'ala, in two ways. The first way he mentions is, that it proves that Surah Al-Fatiha proves that there are Rusul and the wisdom behind the Rusul. And secondly, it's a refutation against those that reject and deny the messengership and Rusul. So then he goes and explains how Surah Al-Fatiha affirms this. How does it establish the messengership and the prophethood? The first he mentions, he said, "Ithbatu hamduhu at-tamma." The first way to prove the messengership here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishing that He is the one that deserves perfect praise. فَإِنَّهُ يَقْتَدِي كَمَالْ حِكْمَتِهِ وَأَنَّهُ لَا يَخْلُقُ خَلْقَهُ عَبَثًا. And this necessitates His wisdom, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's being praised, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He deserves all praise, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this indicates and necessitates wisdom of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He did not create His slaves for no reason. He did not create His slaves for no reason. And then he says, وَلَا يَتْرُكُهُمْ سُدَّ. And He did not leave them in anarchy. He did not leave them in anarchy. لَا يُؤْمَرُونَ وَلَا يُنْهَوْنَ. He didn't leave them in anarchy or just there, not being commanded and not being prohibited to do things. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His wisdom, is not going to leave us like that. That there are no commands, there are no prohibitions. And then he said, this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has freed that for Himself in the Quran. And this is in Surah Al-Qiyamah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after commanding and after prohibiting, subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's from wisdom that He sent who? Huh? The messengers. To tell the people that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes. So from here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves all praise. So because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's complete praise, it necessitates wisdom in the creation. Them to be prohibited from doing things and commanded for doing other things. And from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending messengers in order to guide the people to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and to warn them against that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. The second way that the prophethood is established in Surah Al-Fatiha is from the uluhiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that deserves to be worshipped alone. From the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, and also from the statement, إِيَّاكَ na'bud. Here Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, وَكَوْنُهُ إِلَّهُ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مُسْتَزْلِمْ لِكَوْنُهُ مَعْبُودًا مُطَاعًا وَلَا سَبِيلَ إِلَى مَعْرِفِتِ مَا يُعْبَدُ بِهِ وَيُطَاعُ إِلَّا مِنْ جِهَةِ رُسُلِهِ. And then he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that deserves to be worshipped alone, Surah Al-Fatiha establishes this. Because this is the case, then it necessitates that He should be worshipped. He should, should be worshipped and be obeyed. And there is no way in knowing how Allah should be worshipped except by the messengers. The third way that Surah Al-Fatiha proves the Rusul is, or Risala, is from a statement of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, where he says, وَكَوْنُهُ رَبًّا فَإِنَّ رُبُوبِيَّةُ تَقْتَضِي أَمْرُ الْعِبَادِ وَنَهِيهِمْ وَجَزَاؤُهُمْ بِالْأَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ وَجَزَاؤُهُمْ وَتَعْذِيبُهُمْ فِي السَّيِّئَاتِ. Where Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that because Allah, from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rabb, because He is the Lord, from Alhamdulillahi, Rabb. from the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this necessitates that He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who orders. That He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who orders. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala is also the only one who gives reward. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that gives, that punishes for sins. And he said, Ibn Qayyim, that this is the reality of Rububiyyah. And this cannot be perfected except by the sending of the messengers. This cannot be perfected except by the sending of the messengers. And then he also mentioned the fourth proof. And that's from the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman. The name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman. وَكَوْنُهُ رَحْمَانًا رَحِيمًا فَإِنَّ كَمَالَ رَحْمَتِهِ أَنْ يُعَرِّفْ عِبَادَهُ نَفْسَهُ وَصِفَاتُهُ. And he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the most merciful and having abundance of mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is in Surah Al-Fatiha from Ar-Rahman. And we explained that the wazan al-fa'lan indicates what, ikhwan? Huh? Abundance. So because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has abundance of mercy, again, this necessitates that He would inform and teach and let the ibad know his attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, He would let the ibad know how to get closer to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, He let the ibad know how they can receive reward for their deeds. And then He'll let the slaves and the ibad know how they can stay away from the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this can be done except by the messengers. So through here is a proof in Surah Al-Fatiha of the prophethood. And then Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions other proofs, like for example, establishing of the Yawm al-Din, Yawm al-Qiyamah, the standing where people will be taken to account for their deeds. Again, there is no way that can be done fairly except by the sending of messengers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all just. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all just. And then Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, so how many points do we mention there for the messenger, proof of messengership? Four? Five? What were they? Again, try and look at the names of Allah, Alhamd, Allah, Ar-Rabb, Ar-Rahman, and Malik Yawmiddin. Okay? And Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'in. This should help you understand now. The first one? Alhamd, Allah has perfect praise. So, because Allah has perfect praise, what does that indicate? It necessitates what, sorry? Wisdom in what? That He's created the creation for a reason. Yeah? And what else? Commanded the ibad and prohibited the ibad from doing other things, and He has not left them in anarchy. And from that, He sent the messengers, alayhim salam, to send us or to tell us how to do it. The second one, Shams. Arab. How?
Necessary to obey Him and to stay away from His prohibition, and that He will punish the people and reward the people.
Naam. And this is the haqiqah of Rububiyyah, that He has the power and the judge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as regards to the ibad on the day of judgment. So therefore, He subhanahu wa ta'ala will not send a message or send a messenger. He will send a messenger. Okay, next one. Uluhiyya. Servitude from the name of Allah and from? Iyaka? Iyaka na'bud. Naam. Okay, so from the uluhiyya, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that deserves to be worshipped. And because He's the one that deserves to be worshipped, He should be obeyed. And there's no way that we can find out how to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except through the messengers. So here in Surah Al-Fatiha is the proof of Ar-Rahman. Yeah. Who can tell me Ar-Rahman? Somebody else. How does Ar-Rahman prove in Surah Al-Fatiha where Allah says Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim? Both. How does that prove the sending of the messengers? Ar-Rahman, a abundance in mercy. So because through the abundance and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. I've not sent you except as a mercy for mankind. So from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sending of the messengers. Naam. Yu'arifu an-nas, to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His names, His attributes, and to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's regarding the aims of Surah Al-Fatiha. What did we mention so far are the aims of Surah Al-Fatiha? Number one. the objectives of Surah Fatiha in Surah Fatiha. The objectives of Surah Fatiha. So before we continue, I want to make sure you're with me, inshallah. How? Naam. It comprises of knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sorry? Yeah. Knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. Naam. The affirm affirmation of the messengers. And there's one in the middle. The hereafter. Naam. Informing the people of the hereafter and establishing a through Maliki or Medid. Naam. What are you going to say, Akhi? Khalas. Okay, so that's number. So we've done three. So that's what? Three. Now, from the aims and of Surah Fatiha, is dhikr al-sirat al-mustaqim munfaridan mu'arrifan bita'rifain. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Fatiha mentioning sirat al-mustaqim, the straight path. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Straight path, firstly, mention it in a singular form. And secondly, mention it bil-al mu'arraf. Mention it in a singular form to indicate, as Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala mentions, that there's only one truth. Mentioning sirat in a single form to show that there is only one path. Wa anna hadha sirati mustaqima fattabi'u wa la tattabi subal wa la tattabu subal fatafarraq bikum an sabili dhalikum wasaakum bihi la'allakum tattaqun. And this is my straight path, singular, not paths. This is my straight path. Follow it and don't follow-ish the other paths, because it will deviate you from his path. That is what I advise you with in order for you to attain taqwa. So, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala says here, from the objectives in Surah Fatiha is to show mankind that there is only one path. That there is only one path. And that path is the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is also in collaboration with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, ستفترق هذه نعم افترقت اليهود إلى 71 فرقة وافترقت النصارى إلى 72 فرقة وستفترق هذه الأمة إلى 73 فرقة كلها في النار إلا واحدة. This is the same here, Sirat al-Mustaqim, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the Yahud was split into 71 sects, the Christians were split into 72 sects, this ummah was split into 73 sects, all of them in the fire except one. Man hum ya Rasulullah? Man kana ala ma ana alayhi al-yawm wa ashabi. Those who are upon what I'm upon today and my companions. There's only one path. There's only one straight path. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he then mentioned the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, where Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew a line. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam drew a line, and the end of each line, he drew at the sides of the line, he drew other lines. So he drew one line, and at the right hand side, he drew many lines, and on the other left hand side, he drew many lines. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this is the path of Allah, the one in the middle, the one way, Sirat al Mustaqim, and all of these are subul, and all of these are paths, and at every path there is a shaitan calling people to that path, to that deviant path. So Surah Al-Fatiha, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has deep meanings, ikhwan. When we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our salah, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, we're asking Allah to guide us to salafiyah. We're asking Allah to guide us to the sunnah, to the straight path, to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the path of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the path of the salaf, the way of the salaf. This is in every salah, akhi. So when we talk about manhaj, and we talk about methodology, the correct methodology, the correct way for us to practice Islam according to the way of the salaf, according to the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, people say, why are we talking about this? Akhi, you mention it every salah. Every salah you're talking about it. You're mentioning it from the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. What's the sirat al-mustaqim? It's a straight path. And what's the straight path, Yaqi? Huh? Ah, Salafiyah. The way of who? The way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the companions, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and all the companions of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hassan al-Basri, Sayyid al-Musayyib, Al-Awza'i, Sufyan, Imam Ahmed, the way, and before them, Muhammad ibn Sirin, the way of the Salaf, in your salah, akhi. And we have people these days saying, why are we talking about manhaj? And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَأَنَّ هَذَا سِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوا وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَن سَبِيلِي ذَلِكُمْ وَصَاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made in order for you to get taqwa what? In order for you to get taqwa what, akhi? To follow that path. And ignore those other deviant paths. Because it will tear you away from the path of Allah. And that's what Allah advances you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rahman, in order for you to attain taqwa. So following the way of the Salaf is the way to have taqwa, and the people who follow the way of the Salaf are Ahlul Taqwa, akhi. And manhaj, in that case, softens the heart. In your salah, you mention this, and in your salah, you mention this every single salah. And Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, لا يصل إليه, يعني you will not get to this path أحدا إلا من هذه الطريق. Sorry, you cannot get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except through this path. There's no way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except through this path. ولو أتى الناس من كل طريق, even if they came through any other angle, the only way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that Sirat al-Mustaqim. Even if he came from any other way other than that way, and he opened the door, he'll find, and knocked on it, it'll be locked. This is Ibn Qayyim, deep. The straight path that Allah has informed us to follow is the only way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And anyone, if they came from any other way, trapped from Ba'id, and they knocked on that door, they'll find the door what? Because you came in the wrong way. And you go to another way, and it's the wrong way, until you go what? The straight way. The sirat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in his Quran al-Aziz. And Ibn Qayyim says, إِلَّا مِنْ هَذَا الطَّرِيقَ الْوَاحِدِ, he said, except through this path, فَإِنَّهُ مُتَّصِلٌ بِاللَّهِ, because that's the path that's connected to Allah. That is the path that's connected to Allah. And what's that path, ikhwan, again? And what's the sirat al-mustaqim? What is salafiyya? To follow the Quran and the Sunnah according to the way of the Salaf. This is the way to Allah. Any other way, the door is locked. Man amila amila laysa alayhi amuna fahuwa rad. Whoever does any action that's not from our affair, it is rejected. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions after that, he said, وَلَمَّا كَانَ سُوَالِ اللَّهِ الْهِدَايَةِ إِلَى سِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيلِ أَجَّلَ الْمُطَالِبِ وَنَيْلُ أَشْرَفُ الْمَوَاهِبِ عَلَّمَ اللَّهُ عِبَادَهُ كَيْفِيَةِ سُؤَالَهِ. That because asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance to the straight path is the best of aims, is the most loftiness of objectives. Because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from his rahmah, has taught his ibad, has taught the slaves, his worshippers, on how to ask for this. Again, we're going back to what we started in the first day. How did we begin? Surah Fatir. Alhamd, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's teaching his ibad how to ask in dua. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. And we mentioned what alhamd means. Praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has perfect attributes, perfect names, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the one whose mercy is in abundance. Praising Allah in the first three verses, and in the middle, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. again, ibadah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and seeking help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then afterwards, what happens? Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Ibn al-Qayyim said, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching the ibad how to make dua, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Razzaq, irziqni. Ya Rahman, ya Ghaffar, ighfirli. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the uslub of the Quran, and this is the uslub of Surah Al-Fatiha. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the request. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us because of the loftiness of seeking guidance to the straight path, Allah has taught us the manners in which we supplicate to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he then mentions another benefit of Surah Al-Fatiha. This is the final one, inshallah. He mentions a lot. And in the compilation of Ibn Qayyim's explanation of Surah Al-Fatiha, in one print, goes up to nearly 300 pages. 300 pages, just for Surah Al-Fatiha. And in the later print, if taking a few things off, summarized it a bit, it's 150. So Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala has gone in deep with regards to Surah Al-Fatiha because of its importance. Okay? He then mentions that in Surah Al-Fatiha is the cure for the heart. In Surah Al-Fatiha is a cure and comprises of the cure of the heart. He said, فَأَمَّا اِجْتِمَالُهَا عَلَى شِفَاءِ الْقُلُوبِ. As for its comprising of the cure of the heart, he says, فَمَدَارُ اِعْتِلَاءِ الْقُلُوبِ وَأَسْقَامِهَا عَلَى أَسْلَيْنِ. He says, the sickness of the heart and the illness of the heart revolves around two foundations. The sickness of the heart and the illness of the heart revolves around two foundations. Fasad al-ilm or fasad al-qasd. Corrupted knowledge and corrupted intent and tawajjuh. Corrupted knowledge and corrupted intent. And then he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَيَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَيْهَا دَاءَانِ قَاتِلَانِ. And the illness of corrupted intent and corrupted knowledge, what's based upon it, are two deadly diseases that kill. Two deadly diseases that kill. And that is الضلالة والغضب. So from the illness of fasad al-ilm, corrupted knowledge, comes what? Dalala or ghadab? Fasad al-ilm, what comes from it is what? Ad-dalala. Corrupted knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Corrupted knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Negating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes. Giving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attributes that are not befitting. Corrupted knowledge leads to dalala. Wal ghadab, fasad al-qasd. Meaning that you have the knowledge. You have the knowledge, but because of your ill intent, you do not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone or affirm His attributes and His sifat. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he then mentions, he said, ثُمَّ إِنَّ الْقَلْبِ, that very the heart is exposed to two great diseases again, illnesses. That the heart is exposed to two great illnesses again. And he said that if these two illnesses are not realized, that the individual will be destroyed. The first of those is Ar-Riya. And the second is Al-Kibr. The first is Ar-Riya, which is having no sincerity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, showing off, doing things for people to see. This is an illness. And the second is kibr. And kibr is explained in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that is looking down on the people and rejecting the haqq. Looking down on the people and rejecting the truth, rejecting the dalil. This is an illness. And in Surah Al-Fatiha, there is a cure. And the cure of this is from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, وَكَثِيرٌ مَيْكُمْ تُأَسْمَعْ شَيْخَ الْإِسْلَامِ ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. He said, and what I used to hear a lot, Ibn Qayyim, the student of Ibn Taymiyyah, he said, what I used to hear a lot from Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala was from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ. That إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ, yani we worship you alone, repels riya. It's a cure for it. It repels it, pushes it away. When you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone with ikhlas. Wa iyyaka nasta'in, it repels kibr, haughtiness, arrogance. Because you know that there is no quwwa illa billah. So you seek aid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this humbles the individual. So in this, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he shows that in Surah Al-Fatiha is a cure of the heart from riya, from iyyaka na'bud, from kibr, arrogance, from iyyaka nasta'in, and also from the warning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of غير مغضوب عليهم ولا ضالين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warning us from the path of those who receive this anger because of their corrupted knowledge. Huh? La. From those who receive the anger from the corrupted cust, from the corrupted intent, and those who are astray because of their corrupted knowledge. So it's from the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has explained this to us subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.